Well, so good to have all of you joining us, whether you're connecting online, no matter where you're connecting from, or you're at one of our physical campuses. And I want to just extend a very warm welcome to Element Church. I'm so excited that you're part of the Tri-County Church family. Well, we're kicking off this series titled Grit, Got What It Takes. And when I started thinking about this word grit, I wanted to make sure that I was clear on what we mean by grit. And so this is kind of the working framework when we say the word grit, well, what we mean. You see, grit is a positive trait. And that's important because maybe you've heard grit and it's kind of been leaned kind of sarcastically or maybe in a negative light. But we mean that grit is a very positive trait based on two important components. One of those components is perseverance. And we understand perseverance, especially for 2020. We understand, right? How do we keep going when we want to quit? How do we push through when, well, the force against us is so strong? How do we block out those other voices, whether the voices inside our head or, well, other people's voices that don't want us to succeed? How do we persevere? But the second component, passion. Passion is that fire within you. And I tell you, passion, when you understand that, well, there is something you want to accomplish, there's somewhere you want to go, and nothing's going to stop you, that passion is going to help you persevere. And so throughout this series, I'm going to ask you six important questions. Six questions that you're going to have to wrestle with. Six questions that you're going to have to give a, you're going to have to give a yes or no answer to. And here's the thing about yes or no answers. Sometimes those feel like such simple answers, but in all reality, they're pretty difficult. Now, there's kind of two different layers to, this entire series. If you're kind of at the beginning of your spiritual journey and maybe you're not sure about God, or maybe you believe in God, but you're just not sure how, that relationship between you and God is. Maybe you've started to read the Bible and you're just not sure about all the Bible or parts of the Bible. And you got questions. Here's what I want you to know. You're an experience of such a cool insight into God and how God, walks with people. People like you. Imperfect, messy, doubt-ridden people. But there's another layer that I would, just so you know, these six questions are just great leadership questions. So even if you don't believe in God and don't even believe in the Bible, I just want you to know, these are just six great life questions that are going to help you. Now, if you do believe in God, if you are a Jesus follower, these six questions not only will guide your faith, these six questions, will take you on a journey, a God-sized journey, because God wants to do something so great in you and through you. You see, do you have a dream that's been welling up within you? Has God been nudging you to take a step or maybe take a leap? Do you find yourself a little restless in life or a whole lot of restless in life right now? And you just know that God is up to something. This series, Grit, is just for you. Well, to get us started into part one of this series, I wanted to have a little bit of fun, especially as we get kind of get our blood flowing, the juices flowing around these yes or no questions. So here's three easy yes or no questions. The other six that will guide the series, those are going to be a lot more difficult. But these, I think you all will, at least have fun trying to answer. Well, here's the first question. Do you sing extremely loud while in the car? I mean, whether someone's in the car with you or not with you, that's up to you. Probably most of you are like me. Yeah, definitely no one else in the car. But when you're in the car, do you sing extremely loud? I love these moments where when I'm driving, a song comes up, and especially if it's the late 80s, early 90s, hair metal ballad. Yeah. This guy, I can hit every high note possible. I'm not saying it's good, but I go for it. Do you like to sing in the car? My wife and I, Kim, we had just started dating. I think maybe it was the second or third date at the most. And we're driving from the college we were attending to dinner. And along the way, a song came on the radio. And the song was from the band Pearl Jam. And we both were kind of talking, and then the chorus starts to hit. And you know those moments where the song's in the background, you're in conversation, and all of a sudden you start singing the chorus. Well, this is what happened with Kim and I. And remember, second or third date at the most. And all of a sudden, well, we're singing the chorus, and I realize, well, Kim is singing the words, "Can't find the buttermilk." And I will never forget this moment because I was trying to be on my best behavior because, right, I was trying to be on my best behavior. But when she started to sing, "Can't find the buttermilk," I got this smile on my face. I got this smirk, and I just couldn't help myself. And I looked at her, and I said, "Are you singing 'Can't find the buttermilk'?" And she was like, "Well, yeah, I'm singing 'Can't find the buttermilk.'" I'm like, first of all, I don't even know what that means. But more than that, do you realize what the chorus of the song actually is? And I said, "The chorus is, 'Can't find a better man.'" Well, I laughed, she laughed, and to this day, that is one of those jokes within us because she still makes up words to extremely famous songs, and she sings her own verses and choruses. Do you like to sing loud in the car? Second question. Can cats actually jump 6 times their length? Now, I'm not going to make fun of cats, I promise you. But can they? Now, before you say yes or no, let me give a little context that might help you say yes or no to the question. So the world record holder of the long jump is a guy named Mike Powell. In 1991, Mike Powell set the world record for the long jump. Now, this is important because he's the best of the best, 1991, and no one has broken that record since. So I did a little research, and I found out that Mike Powell is 6'2" tall, which is 74 inches. And a cat, right, can jump 6 times its length. So I put in the factor of 6, going, okay, how far would that be? Again, I'm just providing some context to help you answer the question. How far would that be? Well, that would be 36 feet. Now, what was Mike Powell's world record long jump? He jumped 29 feet and a quarter inch. I did the math on my driver's license. It says that I'm 5'10". You all can laugh at that because if you've ever stood next to me, you know there's no way I'm 5'10". But based off of 5'10", what my driver's license says, I can jump 35 feet and there's zero chance I can do that. So you think about that. Can a cat jump 6 times its length? And the answer to the question is yes, they can. See, cat lovers? That's pretty impressive. Well, this leads to the last question. Do you know the Schrodinger equation of quantum theory? And I promise you, all of you, okay, well, maybe one of you knows it. The rest of us, there's no way we know what the Schrodinger equation of quantum theory. So I researched. I'm like, what is it? This is what it is. The Schrodinger equation is a linear partial differential equation that describes a wave function or state function of a quantum mechanical system. Does that help at all? Absolutely not. I'm not even sure what I read. But you think about all of these yes and no questions. Every day we're inundated with yes and no questions. If you have kids, I mean, countless yes and no questions all day long. If you work and your boss is asking you yes or no questions, or maybe you are the boss and you're asking your employees yes or no questions. Like, we find ourselves just in life answering these yes or no questions all the time. But when it comes to the big dream within us, when it comes to that one seismic decision that we know we need to make, when we realize we're going to have to risk greatly to accomplish something great, These yes and no questions, well, they start to feel so significantly different, don't they? Is there something welling up within you right now that you want to say yes to, but you're afraid you're going to say no? I've had seasons of life where I wanted to say yes. And I know I shouldn't say no. And so what I do, well, maybe it's the same thing you do. Because we become experts of not saying yes, but coming up with different ways to actually say no. We say things like, maybe, I'll think about it, let me see, not sure, I'll get back to you. You see, researchers call this kind of fear of risking big, taking a step out, saying yes to our dreams. They've equated it to something called the lizard brain. I know it sounds weird. It gets attached to, the brain development of a lizard. And, the lizard's brain, isn't as formed as us human beings. But we both have a similar component. It's that part of our brain that is the fight or flight response. It's that part of our brain where fear wells up, the what if questions start to seize control of our life. Seth Godin, he's a New York Times bestseller. He's written a lot about the lizard brain. And a few years ago, this is what he wrote. He says, we say we want one thing, then we do another. We say we want to be successful, but we sabotage the job interview. We say we want a product to come to market, but we sandbag the shipping schedule. We say we want to be thin, but we eat too much. We say we want to be smart, but we skip class or don't read that book the boss lent us. The lizard brain, or as Stephen Pressfield describes, it's the resistance. The resistance is a voice in the back of our head telling us to back off, to be careful, to go slow, to compromise. The resistance grows in strength as we get closer to shipping, as we get closer to an insight, as we get closer to the truth of what we really want. That's because the lizard hates change and achievement and risk. You see, there's that part of us, especially when it comes to a dream, especially when it comes to stepping out and changing the course or direction of our life, especially when it comes to moments where God wants to do something through you so significant, but yet something in the back of your mind resists saying yes. And we come up with a whole nother list of ways to say no. But in reality, we're saying no. Well, over the course of this series, we're going to be following the journey of a husband and wife. Their names were Abram and Sarai. And what I love about their story is there's going to be so many moments throughout this series that you're just going to find connection points with their story. You can read about them starting in Genesis chapter 11. And right at the end of Genesis 11, we actually get this quick snapshot into their life. We're told whose Abram's dad's name was, and we find out that, Abram actually had a brother that passed away. So Abram understood loss and grief, and especially a family member. We find out that Abram is married to Sarai, and not only are they married together, that, they couldn't have kids. And maybe for you, that's part of your storyline. The desire to have a family, the desire to have kids, and for whatever reason, not being able to. I know for my wife and I, that's part of our story as well. And then right at the end, we're told that, Abram's dad passes away. And if you've ever lost a mom or a dad, you know. It's an interesting journey to go through when you lose a parent. And in this moment, for Abram, for Sarai, they're grieving a loss. They're grieving a loss of a family member. And then all of a sudden, God intersects with their life. Now, this is another important part of the story. We also discover that Abram's dad didn't worship God. He worshiped all these other deities or false gods. But Abram wasn't raised in a house of worshiping the one true God. And maybe for you, that's part of your spiritual journey. You weren't raised in what we call a Christian home. You weren't raised going to church. You weren't raised reading the Bible. Your mom or dad believed something different, or maybe they just never talked about belief. And so for Abram, that was his background. His dad just worshiped all these pagan gods. And then one day, God intersects with their life. And this is what God said. Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. Now, this is an anchor verse for me. Hear this. This is a verse I have shared so many times to individuals, to groups of people. This verse has guided me, and there's so much in it. I mean, we look at the word go, and built into the word go is leave. There's two actions there. God says go from, which means, hey, Abram, you and Sarai, you're going to have to go, and as you go, you're going to leave, and leaving means you're going to have to let go. Let go of your other family members. Let go of your comfort. Let go of the area that you've just grown accustomed to. Let go of all your business relationships. Let go of all your friendship relationships. Let go of, you just know the area. And you're going to have to let go all of that, because leaving means you have to let go. To go. But not only does God say go, leave and let go. God doesn't even give him a plan. Remember what he said? To the land I will show you. Like, he was just like, it's going to be the land of the unknown. Could you imagine that? I mean, we live in a day and age where we want our plan, we want our map, we want the GPS coordinates, we want Google Maps out, we want to know exactly the route we're going to take. God didn't give them any of that. He said, hey, Abram, Sarai, you're going to go. I'm asking you to leave, which means you're going to have to let go. And I'm not going to tell you the course. I'm not going to tell you all the exact steps. I'm not going to give you the strategy. I'm not going to give you the framework. Go. Go. And leave. To the unknown. But then God gives them a promise. And on one side, this promise is a beautiful promise. It's an amazing promise. But if you've heard this promise before, in a few moments when you hear this promise, don't get lost in the amazingness of this promise. I mean, feel the gravity of this promise. Because if you put yourself into Abram and Sarai's kind of footsteps, the gravity and the reality around this promise didn't feel that great to them, but I'll get to that in a moment. Here's a promise. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I'll bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Again, that feels amazing, doesn't it? Your name will be great. I mean, right? There's something within all of us. I want my name to be great. I want to do something great where people will go, wow, look. I mean, have you thought about that before? I don't think I'm the only one. That there would be a blessing, God's blessing through them. Not just for a little group of people. No. God made it clear it was for all peoples on earth. Woo! But for Abram and Sarai, for their name, their family name to be great, that family name had to continue on. And that's why the quick insight in Genesis chapter 11, right before we get to this amazing moment in Genesis chapter 12, is so important. Because the author of Genesis lets us in on an important piece of information that Abram and Sarai were childless. They couldn't have kids. So how can your name be great? How can your family lineage be a blessing to all people when you, well, as soon as you die, your family name dies? See, on one side, that blessing, that promise from God feels amazing. But for Abram and Sarah, they had to be scratching their heads going, but God, we don't even have one child. How can this happen? And then God continues. And Abram, he goes. He goes to the unknown, leaving where he was comfortable, letting go of what was comfortable to him. And he goes with a promise that I don't really think him or his wife really understood, really grasped, and really thought could come to fruition. But they went, as the Lord had told them. And Lot went with him. And then the author just drops this in. Oh, by the way, Abraham was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. 75. He's an old man, which means his wife wasn't really young either. They were later in their age. And then God appeared to Abram and said, to your offspring, I will give you this land. So he built, Abram built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. God wanted to make sure Abram and Sarai both knew, hey, your offspring will have this land. Now, we're going to get to the first question, because the first question is an important question. But before we get to this question, remember I stated that throughout the series, there's going to be six questions. And questions 2 through 6, well, these 5 questions actually is going to help you answer the first question. So today, I'm going to ask you, don't answer this question. Just don't. We'll get to it by the time we get to question 6. But don't answer that question yet, because we're going to need questions 2 through 6 to get to this question. And questions 2 through 6 is going to help you answer this question. The question, it's a simple question. You ready for it? Will you say yes? Will you say yes? Will you say yes to go? To leave, to let go, to journey into the unknown. See, I think about these 3 parts of this first part of Abram and Sarai's story. You think about their age. Abram's 75 years old. 75! And he's picking up, he's uprooting his family, his business, right? And he's just going. 75. You think about the foreign land that he was going to enter into. The fear, the uncertainty. Could they find a place to live? Could they find some land that would actually grow crops? Could they get food? Could they barter with these, well, the foreign people in there? Would they get attacked? Would they be protected? How would they survive? And then you think about a real, raw part of the story. That God's promising them offspring, but they couldn't have kids up to that point. And not only could they not have kids up to this point, again, Abram's 75. See, you think about these 3 components. And I just want you to kind of shift these and apply them to you. And maybe age isn't the issue for you. Maybe it is, but maybe it's not. But maybe for you, do you just feel unqualified? I mean, for Abram, he had to feel unqualified. He's 75, and God's giving him this incredible promise. And he's like, I'm old. I'm old. I'm getting to the latter years of my life. And maybe that's a real part of your story. And here's the thing. You're never too old for God. Never too old for God. But maybe it's another part of your story that you just feel unqualified. Maybe you just don't feel gifted enough. You look at other people's gift mix and you go, I wish I was like them. Maybe you look at other people's personality and you're like, I wish I was more outgoing. I wish I was more bold. I was more charismatic. I was more gifted in communication or gifted in writing or gifted in systems or gifted. You fill in the blank. Do you just feel unqualified? I mean, Abram and Sarah had to feel completely unqualified. God's giving them a promise to have offspring and be a blessing to all people. And they're like, there's no way we're going to have kids. Then you think about this foreign land. I mean, maybe for you, it's all about uncertainty. I mean, for them, the uncertainty was going to a foreign land. Maybe for you, it looks vastly different, but it's filled with uncertainty. Maybe it's risking to shift your career, and your career path right now has a lot of certainty, but you shifting away from it is now going to be filled with a whole lot of uncertainty. Maybe for you, the dream within you, maybe it won't work. And that's all you're thinking about is what if it doesn't work? But what if it does? Maybe for you, the uncertainty is all about the risk factor, and you've brought in people around you, and well, maybe you should listen to some of those people, but maybe you shouldn't listen to all of those people. What uncertainty. Abram and Sarah had to be filled with uncertainty to go to the land that God was going to show them. No map, just following God. And then I think about this last one. They're childless. Couldn't have kids. Tried over and over and over and over again. Nothing. And now God's promise is that they would be a blessing to all nations, for all people. And do you just think that dream that God is breathing into you is just completely unimaginable? Like, you know it. It's in you. You've thought about it, and you're just like, dude, there's just no way it can happen. It's just not real. It's fiction. For Abram and Sarah, they had just had to feel that all over again. But this is the amazing part of the storyline of people like you and me throughout the Bible. People like Abram and Sarah. The God takes the unqualified, the uncertain, the messy, the doubt-ridden, the imperfect, and does the unimaginable through those who say yes to God. You see, I think the most powerful part of Abram and Sarai's story is when God went to them and said, go to the land I will show you. Go to the land I will show you. And you, I'm going to do something so great in you and through you that you're going to be a blessing to all people. What did Abram and Sarai do? They went. They said yes. You see, this question is a question you're going to have to wrestle with. Will you say yes to the dream God is stirring within you, the nudging that God is pushing within you, the risk that God is wanting you to take? But remember, questions 2 through 6, those questions are going to help you answer that question. And questions 2 through 6, they're difficult. They're challenging. They're going to stretch your faith. But if you answer yes, watch what God will do in you and through you. So, do you have grit? Do you have grit? Perseverance and passion. Because God is doing something significant. And he wants to use you to be part of his storyline. Let's do this together. Let's pray. Lord, I just pray that this series breathes life into people, because right now you're stirring. You're stirring. And I love the fact that you use people like me, and you use people like every single person. Imperfect, messy, broken, unsure, doubt-riddled. But God, you take us. And when we lean into you, God, you guide our steps. So Lord, I just pray over every single person that, Lord, they'll lean into that dream. They'll lean into that nudge. They'll lean into that stirring. And they'll follow you. And that they'll say yes. In your name I pray. Amen.